have special kind of a special service in mind. And in the passage we're going to go through, I'm more or less just going to kind of read through it and touch on some things. Been a heck of a year, hasn't it, guys? Man, it's really a year like none other in my life, and I would guess most of you would say that too. Something that 10 months ago, before everything started going down with COVID, I don't think any one of us in here would have foreseen a lot of the stuff that's happened in between then and now, right? And I think most of our lives have been affected by the events of this year in some way or another, some of us more so than others. But the reality is, like I try to do at the end of kind of adverse times in my life, is remember that the fact that we're still here, we're still breathing, we're still alive and kicking, it's all evidence of God's faithfulness in your life. He brought you to it, but he also brought you through it. And he does that time and time again. And I think it's very important that we, as God's people, don't just gloss over that. We don't just forget or kind of assume and kind of not give significance to God's faithfulness in our lives, especially in seasons of adversity or difficulty. Because as I point out often to us, it's God's past faithfulness that demands our present trust. All right? And surely 2020 is not going to be the end of adversity in our lives on this earth, right? God has told us, Jesus has told us, that on this earth we will face tribulation. But we're to take courage because he's overcome this world. In essence, we're a part of his kingdom and not this kingdom. And so all of his promises apply. Whether things are looking crazy or not, God's still going to see us through it and be good to us in it. But it's important to remember those past instances of faithfulness. So when we face that future adversity, that future difficult stuff, that we remember, no, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to get afraid because I've been through something like this before, something hard, something difficult, something I didn't understand. And God was good and he was faithful and he took me through it. So he's going to take me through this too. And I'm going to be okay. All right? That's why it's important to do that. So I want to spend today looking at an example of God's people doing that very thing, taking the time to remember God's faithfulness in their lives so they wouldn't forget it in the future. So we're going to be in Joshua 4. It should be up on the screen so you can kind of read along as we go through it. And then, like I said, I'm going to point a few things out, and then this is more or less a three-point sermon, just three applications that we don't want to just hear and agree with, but we can apply to our lives to help us have that present trust no matter what's going on. So just to give you some background on what's happening in the nation of Israel's history at this point, the torch has just been passed recently from Moses to Joshua as far as Joshua being God's appointed person to lead his people. And after wandering in the desert for 40 years because of their lack of faith, some of you guys, this is a review, but if you don't know, they were told to go into this promised land, this land, as God called, flowing with milk and honey, a picture of just, you know, this, like a land that was plentiful, that would be good for the people, that God was going to give them. And when he told them to go into it, they basically were focused on their circumstances. They sent some spies into the land and they saw giants and fierce people that they were afraid of. And even though God had said, this land I'm giving to you, I'm the one that's going to give it to you. I'll give you victory over all those people. It's yours. They lacked faith because they were focused on their circumstances instead of God's word. And they didn't go into that land. And so God said, as punishment, you're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And actually, that punishment turned into more of discipline, because through those 40 years, God was sending them through instances of hard situations where he was faithful every time. Kept showing them mercy, kept showing them love, kept delivering them. And all it took 40 years basically to build up the faith they needed to actually listen to him and go into that promised land that was going to be only blessing for them, all right? So even in the discipline, if you will, or the consequences for their sin of disobeying God, he was still good in preparing them faith to go in. Now, having said that, we're at the point where it was time for them to go in. Joshua's been told by God, take the people into the land. I'm going to be with you. I'm the one that's going to give you victory. And as long as you guys listen to my word, success will follow you wherever you go. Very much what God tells us today. And the people, they're obedient. Again, they trusted God. They followed Joshua in. And God miraculously brings them into the land, much like he did when he parted the Red Sea, when the Egyptians were bearing down on them to save them from the Egyptians. As they crossed the border of the land, the Jordan River, God parts it as the priests carrying the ark, which was where God's presence resided. As they step into the river, it miraculously just separates so that they can pass through on dry land and go into this promised land. All right, just God making it clear that it's me bringing you into this land right from the beginning. So that's where we're going to pick it up in Joshua 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Let me pray one more time and then we'll go through it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, we just want to settle our hearts, settle our minds. We want to hear the word that you have for us today. We want to, in this time when we're remembering your goodness and faithfulness in this last year, just as these guys did here, or in this section we're going to read, we even ask now that your Holy Spirit would just minister to each of us and flood our minds and our hearts with all of the things you've done for us this year, all of the good things you've done, all of the instances where you were faithful. Help us remember them and be filled with a heart of thanks and joy. Speak to us through your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So starting in verse 1 in Joshua 4, it says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. And then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. So God tells Joshua, take a man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, have him grab a stone from the midst of the riverbed that's dry, and bring it with you to the place where you guys are going to camp on the other side. And so Joshua appoints the 12 men to do that. And it says in verse 5, and Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So he tells them, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take a stone. And this is the reason for it. When people ask, when people want to know what this memorial, and the idea there is they would set these 12 stones up kind of in a pile. And just as we have memorials today, there's like a memorial under the Megler Bridge to remember people that have died out on fishing boats and stuff. That it was the same thing. You're going to remember something. And he tells them, this is specifically what we're going to remember. This is going to be a place to remember God's faithfulness in bringing us into this land and how he miraculously parted the waters, okay? And it goes on in verse 8, and it says, and the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant has stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Joshua had commanded, or Moses had commanded Joshua. So the 12 people from the 12 tribes, they do exactly what he says. They take a stone, they bring it to where they're camping. Joshua gets 12 different stones from the middle of the river and actually makes a memorial in the river where the priests had been standing and sets it up there. And then it says the priests basically, they were obedient. They listened to what God said. Everyone did exactly what he told them to do here. And then it goes on in verse 11, it says, and when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people, and the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them, about 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. So as the people are coming over the land, they're going into the promised land, they're coming through that dry Jordan riverbed. There was certain tribes of Israel that were designated as kind of the people to be out in front and be ready for battle. But I like how verse 13 says that they were ready for war and they passed over the Lord for battle. Because even though they were coming into this promised land, basically God was not saying you're not going to have battles in this new land, this promised land. And if you guys aren't familiar, the promised land, it was a literal place. It's what God brought his people into, this place where their lives were supposed to be better and they have everything they need in just this perfect land that God had given them. But having said that, it's a spiritual picture of what was to come through Jesus Christ, because there is a real life that you cannot have called eternal life except through faith in Jesus. And it's where you actually are living the way God intended, in that you were never intended to live alone, separated from God, from your sin. You were intended to have a living or a relationship with the living God of the universe that created you. And once you have him in your life, then you truly are living for the first time. And that's eternal life. And we can only have that through Jesus. So this was a picture of that, okay? Now, just like for them, they were going to still have battles because they were still living in this fallen world. The same goes for us, right? We're not promised that our lives are going to be carefree and easy. What we're promised is God will always be with us, and he will see us through this life right into the next to be with him. And that in a sense, none of the hard things you go through anymore in this life and any type of bearing or final say in your eternity, in that that's set in stone. And that even those hard things you go through as a result of living in this fallen world, they're going to all be worked for your good in some way or another. Often we see that in hindsight, but even if you don't see it in this life, you will see it in the next, because it's all preparing you for who God made you to be. And so what I like about this is that they were ready for war right on the heels of making this memorial or getting these stones to remember God's past faithfulness. And in much the same way, it's when we remember and acknowledge all the times God's been faithful and good in the past that you will be ready for the battles in your life in the future. Okay? That you will be able to go into them with the right frame of mind and not be afraid and not be fearful and not feel the need to have to take situations into your own hands or in a sense run away, but go to God and say, God, help me with this. God, I know you're going to give me victory. I know I already have victory in you. You've done it over and over again. Lord, I'm just going to stand firm and I'm going to trust in you and I'm going to watch you deliver me. Amen. So it goes on in verse 14, it says, on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. So as the priests come out of the river, it goes right back to normal. Again, just a sign that that it was God that was doing all this just for them. Verse 19, it says, the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So as they come out, he makes that memorial where they're camping at with those 12 stones. And again, he reiterates to them the purpose of this. Here's the purpose of this, all right? So every time you guys walk by, every time your kids, if for future generations, and they ask, what is this for? You're going to tell them. You're going to remind them. You're going to remind yourself that God did a miraculous thing here in bringing us into this land where we were to be blessed. And he parted the water for us right from the beginning to come into here, like something that could only be done by God. He did that for us. And I like it in verse 24, he points out, and because of that, you will remember that he's mighty. No matter what you're going through in your life, you're going to remember that he is bigger than it, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Be in awe. It's not fear like being afraid, like he's going to hurt you. It's fear as in reverence. It's like, man, our God is mighty. He loves us. He's so great. He's been nothing but faithful. We'd be crazy not to trust him. That would come out of remembering his past faithfulness and the instances he had come through for them before. All right. So here's what, like I said before, there's three things I want to focus on here. And what I think this chapter of scripture gives us a great example of is how to deal with what I call something I suffer from often, and that is spiritual amnesia. Okay? I don't know about you guys, but I have a great tendency to forget very easily all of God's instances of past faithfulness in my lives or past goodness, especially in the midst of adversity or something difficult or something I don't want to be going on in my life. Basically, as soon as I get caught up in the emotion of this thing that's not going good, or I start thinking about all the what ifs, often the worst case scenarios of this thing that's happening, my mind goes right off of how God has been nothing but good and faithful in so many instances prior that are just like that. And it's just overwhelmed, and I get fearful and I get anxious, all right? So what we see here is a way to combat that forgetfulness. And there's three things I want you to write down if you're a note taker, or just note in your head, all right, that we're going to talk about. And that is to think, thank, and tell of all the Lord has done for you. All right? Think, thank, and tell. Now, the first one we're going to talk about is to think of all the Lord has done for us. Or again, to be intentional about taking the time to think about or remember the specific instances of God's faithfulness in your life, just like we see God's people do here. Otherwise, as I said before, we have a tendency to just forget them, or in a sense, lose sight of them as we're distracted by the hard things that are going on in our lives. And again, we do this, as I said before, because remembering those past instances of God's goodness and faithfulness are going to help you endure and have the present trust and faith you need to go through whatever life might be throwing at you in the present or in the future, all right? And it'll give you the right attitude to handle those situations. There's a great example of this in Psalm 77, verses 1 through 15, as the writer of this psalm is going through something hard, okay? Let me read it to you, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. It says in verse 1, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I'm too distressed even to pray. You guys ever been that way before? You're so distressed. You're so discouraged. It's hard to even formulate in your mouth like what to say to God. It says, I think of the good old days long since ended when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will this go on forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Has his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? I don't know about you guys. I can feel like that sometimes, even though I know in my head that those things aren't true. They're like almost rhetorical questions, that God would never do that. But I feel as if it feels like that because of what I'm going through. It goes on to verse 10 and it says, and I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. Now listen, all right, verse 11. Here's where he goes from focusing on his circumstances to remembering God's past faithfulness. And you're going to see a change of his attitude immediately following that. It says in verse 11, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. So he's intentional about thinking about all the wonderful, mighty things God had done previously in his life. And look at what verse 13 says. It says, oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. So this attitude of his that started out as fear changes to an attitude of faith by remembering all of God's past faithfulness and goodness in his life, being intentional about doing that. All right. And like God's people in Joshua 4, like the psalmist, we need to take the time to intentionally think about the stones in your life, the instances of God coming through for you, of him keeping his promises to you, of him being good to you, so that we don't forget him when we need him most. Amen. So we can trust and continue to endure through whatever the life has to bring to us, in a sense, until we're with the Lord again. Now, one of the ways I practically do this, and this isn't something you have to do, but it's something that has helped me, is that I have a prayer journal. And actually, I'm not the one that came up with that. It was my wife that did this for years. And then I finally jumped on the bandwagon after seeing all the fruit of it in her life. But I have a prayer journal where I add to it frequently, but you know, some of you guys are in that prayer journal because you guys need a lot of prayer. No, I'm just joking. But having said that, no, like when something comes to mind, I want to remember to pray for it. And I go through that journal weekly. You know, I have times of just kind of informal prayer, but like I want to formally be praying for these things. That's why they're in there. And as I see God, I have one side of it where it's prayer requests and the other side it's answers, and I have dates. And so I as I write the prayer request down, when God answers a prayer, I write down that answer on the other page. That stone, if you will, that instance of his past faithfulness. And as I go through this, I can't help but see all of these answered prayers on the opposite page of prayers he's answered in the past. All these instances, it's like one big memorial pile of stones. And I can't get through that thing without remembering that, man, God, you've been so faithful. Look at this. You answered this prayer even bigger and better than I even could have asked. It's like, in this one too, and this one too. You came through for that person. You did this. You did that. And by the time I'm done, I have a totally different attitude. If I went into that prayer time worried or anxious or fearful. Because I've just been reminded of all of God's faithfulness in my life, and I can't help but trust and have faith in the present. Amen? So that's where I would encourage you, in whatever way works for you, if you're not intentional about remembering it, Our tendency can be to forgive it, forget it. So that's the first thing we got to do. We got to think intentionally on all of God has done for us, right? Now, the second thing we should do is to thank him for all he's done for us. So as soon as I think about it, it's only fitting for me to take the time to thank or praise him for it. And really, that should be our natural response to God being good and faithful in our lives, is to thank him and praise him for it. And we see a great example of praise being tied to acknowledging God's goodness in Psalm 9, 1 through 2, a psalm written by David, where he says in verse 1, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Notice that as he's thinking or telling, because you can't tell of something unless you're thinking of it, as he's thinking of all the marvelous things, all the good things God has done, he praises God concurrently with that. And it results in this kind of like joyous heart, right? And again, this is like a natural thing. When we're taking the time to think of all the good things God's done, it will produce this welling up in you of thanks and joy, because you're just overwhelmed by God's goodness in your life and all the instances that he's come through for you, because it's a reflection of his love and his care. When somebody does something nice to you, like your husband or your wife or your kids or a friend, maybe they get you a card for Christmas, or they get you your favorite chocolates or a gift that you knew you wanted, doesn't that produce like this joy in you? They really care about me. They really were concerned that much to get this thing that I wanted or say this nice thing about me. It produces this like care or this joy in you as a result of them caring for you. And that's what acknowledging all of God's care for you does. It reminds you or shows you to an even greater degree how much God loves you. And that leaves you in a sweet place. The place we want to be, understanding that his love for us is greater than we can even imagine. And to produce that heart of joy and praise, right, again, which is much better than fear and anxiousness or discouragement. Amen? And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be filled with the joy of the Lord, and that is the joy of the Lord. The fact that you are his child and that he loves you, and that you are firmly in his grasp wherever you go. Amen? So we talked about thinking about God's past faithfulness and then thanking him for it. And the next thing, the last thing I want to talk about, is telling of all the Lord has done for us. Basically, when we think about God's goodness and we thank him for it, next thing we need to do is tell everyone about it, just like Joshua told them in verses 21 through 23. Man, when you see these stones and you remember God's faithfulness, and you worship him for it, then you tell others about it. Tell your children, tell your neighbors, tell your friends, so that, as verse 23 says, all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Or basically, telling others your testimony of God's work in your life accomplishes two things. Okay, number one, it allows him to be glorified or show himself to others. Basically, your testimony is proof of God's existence and how real Jesus is. And maybe you've experienced this before, where people might want to argue with you with fundamental truths of God's word. Most people can't argue with your testimony, or they're not going to try, because basically, in essence, all they can do is call you a liar. But I mean, if you're saying like, no, Jesus has done this in my life, I saw him do this, people can't argue with that. It's proof of how real he is. There's a great example of this in Mark 5, 18 through 20, with the demon-possessed man that Jesus healed. It says in verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things of Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. You guys know that story. This was a guy that was under demon oppression. He was living amongst the tombs. He was living like in a graveyard. He had chains hanging from him because the people would, he'd kind of go crazy from the what the demons were putting him through, and they try to chain him up, but he'd break the chains, and he was cutting himself because of the anguish he was in. And Jesus comes and saves him, casts those demons out, and he has the right response. He's like, Jesus, I just want to be with you now. You save me. And Jesus is like, he doesn't tell him that's bad, because that's not bad, but he's like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back and tell all your friends and family all the Lord has done for you. And he does that. He shares testimonies of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness. And what happens? It leaves everyone in awe because they knew what he was like before. And they see what he's like now, and they can't deny that that was Jesus that did that. That's how God saves people. Amen. So that's the first thing. We want God to be glorified. We want him to show himself through us. So that's why we want to tell people of his goodness and faithfulness in our lives. Second thing is, it helps you, as Joshua says, fear the Lord, or remain in awe of God in your life. See, telling your testimony doesn't just benefit you, and I'm sure most of you guys have experienced this before, but as you're sharing it with other people, the Holy Spirit has a way of ministering it to you, like reminding you, like, oh my gosh, God has been so good to me. Even as you're telling other people, this is crazy. I mean, he really did this. He really cares. He really came through. And it produces this, again, this joy, this heart of praise. If you guys were here first service last week, I almost lost it up here as I'm sharing about the favor that God had told Mary that he was going to have upon her as the angel came and shared, like, you're favored by God. And the reason was because I was ministering to myself, or the Holy Spirit was ministering to me and reminding me of all the favor God has shown me in life. And it left me in awe. It left me amazed. We don't want to ever be insensitive to that. We don't want to not be in awe. We don't want to not fear God. We want to be constantly telling other people of all the amazing things he's done, so that he reminds us first and foremost of just how much he cares about us and loves us. Amen? So that's why we want to tell others. That's the example. Again, this is a very practical thing or scripture that, like, we can follow. And that's what my exhortation is going to be as we kind of close today. I'm actually going to have the worship team come back up here, and we've got lots of time, which is good, because there's three different things I want to kind of end on. But having said that, this is one of those things where it gives us an example to follow. So we don't want to just sit here. We don't want to just say, amen, that's a good idea, I should do that, and then walk right out that door and never put it into practice, okay? I can do that all the time. But there's a difference between being a hearer of the word and agreeing with it and actually implementing it in your life. And as Jesus says, blessed are those who hear and obey God's word. There's a blessing in not just listening to it, but actually implementing in your life that none of us wants to miss out on, okay? So here's the thing, the first thing. I've got two big crates up here of River Rock stones. And before you leave service today, you're going to come up here and you're going to grab one of these, and you're going to take it home with you this week, and you're going to think about all of God's instances of being good and faithful to you in this last year, all right? And you're going to pick one, or you're going to pick a couple, and whatever you want, and you're going to write a word on that rock, preferably in a Sharpie that's permanent because it rains. But you're going to write a word, you're going to write a sentence if you're really talented, whatever you want, something that pertains to an instance of his faithfulness or goodness, or instances, whatever you want to do. And you're going to thank him for it. That's your memorial stone, okay? And then what you're going to do next week is, when you come back, you're going to set it out front of the church. I'll show that picture. I already started the pile for us. It's sitting out there right now. All right, you're going to set it on top of that rock, or whatever rocks are there. So that every time you pull into this church parking lot, or you drive by it if you live out here, you're going to see that pile of rocks. And you're going to remember, man, God was good. God was faithful. He brought me into 2020 and he brought me right out of it. And you know what? Whatever's going on in 2021, and let me just warn you ahead of time, birth pains do not get better. Can I get an amen, ladies? Well, the young men agree. They get worse. And Jesus said that as things get worse, it would be like birth pains until he comes and gets us. And we see those birth pains getting really close. So that means him coming back to get us is really close. But having said that, who knows what 2021 is going to bring us? All the more reason that we need to remember God's faithfulness in 2020 so we don't get afraid, we don't get anxious, we don't get discouraged, but we remind ourselves constantly, no, no, no. God has been nothing but good. He has shown nothing but his love for me. He will continue to do that. Amen? Is that picture up there? Okay. Well, having said that, there's a rock out there in the bark thing in the front of the church. And so you'll find it. It's just a little river rock. And what it has written on it is church provision. And just a little backstory on that. This is just one of the instances of God's faithfulness in this past year. But having said that, there was a series of months leading up to April where the church tithe had been low. Now, having said that, it fluctuates every month. So, I mean, really to try to, how we usually do things here is we seek the Lord. We prayerfully consider, like, how the Lord would want us to spend his money because it's his church. And so what we do is we take an average at the end of the year based off of the whole year, because that's the only way you can kind of figure it out. And we kind of make sure we're in prayerfully living within the means the Lord's given us, and we kind of go off that. Now, having said that, we the savings all the way down to zero. Now, God doesn't promise savings accounts. He promised he'll provide your daily needs. So, you know, we were sure to remind each other of that. Even if God takes away the whole entire savings, it's nice to have that for the months that are low. But having said that, he doesn't promise that. So he's still being faithful. Now, having said that, going into April, when all this COVID stuff started happening and we weren't meeting and basically people were getting laid off and stuff, there was a lot of worldly reason to think that, okay, this might be it. You know, we might not be able to pay the bills this month or whatnot. And I sense the Lord told me specifically, it's not your church, Chris. This isn't for you to worry about. Let me be the dad here. This is my church. And until I come back to get it, I will faithfully take care of it. And from that month on, we never missed a bill. God was just faithful. Actually, God gave in abundance. We had some high unexpected things we had to pay for that he covered. We were able to give. I think we're going to end up actually more than what our average was last year. So we're able to give in abundance as far as helping people in the community or giving to missions. So all that to say is God was faithful in taking care of his church this year. And so that's what I wrote on the rock that you can't see up there because technical difficulties, but it's out there. So when you come back next week, I want you to bring that rock and I want you to set it in that pile again so that we remember every time we come in and we look at it, God's faithfulness in our lives. Amen? And maybe this is something you want to do at your house too. Maybe you want to grab two rocks and you want to take one home and write it and you want to start a pile with you and your kids at out in front of your house in your landscaping, somewhere where you see it every time you go in the house too. Whatever the Lord leads. But we want to be intentional, just like they were, on remembering God's goodness and faithfulness. Amen? Now, the second thing, some of you guys have been asking about this because I made an event on our Facebook page called Day of Remembrance for the 31st of December. And what this is something that I hope to start as an annual tradition here where we take the time to go on social media, if you have social media, and that can be just sharing something in written form, could be short, could be long, or doing like a live video testimony. Whatever. And if you don't have social media, cool. You don't need it. Find a friend, find a neighbor, find a family member, and be intentional about sharing We've talked about thinking and thinking, but telling others of God's faithfulness and goodness in your lives in this last year. Just pick an instance and share it, all right? And then pray that God uses it to glorify himself to others, show himself to others, because that's what this whole world needs right now, is Jesus, just like we do. And then also, he uses it to minister to you, remind you, and produce that fear of the Lord, that awe of him. Amen? All right, so we're going to take a stone, we're going to remember. We're going to tell everyone on December 31st. Tell somebody. Okay? And then last but not least, we're going to remember ourselves what Jesus told us to do often, and that is to take communion and remember his sacrifice on the cross, because it's through our faith in Jesus, through what he did for us, that has brought us into our promised land, to that eternal life, which makes his goodness in our lives a guarantee. Whether we see it or not, it's guaranteed. He has promised that he's with us. And if he's with us and for us, who can be against us? He has promised we're more than conquerors. So yes, you are going to have battles in this coming year. But guess what? They've already been won by the Lord for you. All we need is the faith and trust to go into them, looking to him to walk us through that victory he's really won. And that is guaranteed as a child of God. Just as I would never, in the power that I have, let anything bad happen to my kids. Well, God, who is sovereignly in control of all things, has promised he will never let anything thwart his good plans for you. And Jesus, knowing that we suffer from spiritual amnesia, said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Take this bread. Remember I gave you my body. I gave it for you. Take this blood, this juice. Remember my blood that was spilled for you, that has brought, forgiven you of your sin, brought you in this relationship." So, we're going to sing a worship song. I encourage you right now just to kind of remember those instances of God's faithfulness and goodness in your life and praise him for it. If you did not get communion elements, we've got them sitting back at the table, the little prepackaged things. You can go grab those and go back to your seat. After we sing this song, I will come up and lead us in communion, and we'll do one last song. Amen? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much again, Lord, for all of your goodness and faithfulness in this past year. I thank you on behalf of these people, because I know that you've been nothing but good and faithful to them as you have to me. Lord, it's been a crazy year, one that none of us would wish upon ourselves, a lot of the things we've gone through. But having said that, we know what the enemy would mean for evil, you are using for good. You have used for good. We know that our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against these principalities, these powers, these unseen spiritual forces. As the prince of this world, Satan, is influencing it. But we know he loses at the end, Lord. And we know that he who is in us is greater than he. We know he has no power over us unless we listen to his lies. And so we stand firm in you, Jesus, putting on the armor you've given us in your word and in the faith we have in what you've told us. And the fact that you have done nothing but shown faithfulness to keep your word in our lives and shown nothing but your love for us over and over again. And we just want to take the time right now to thank you for that faithfulness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.